Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to your show, Destination Health. I'm Kim Packerham, member of the Let's Truck team. Thanks so much for being here today and just banding together and say that your health is important. We believe being healthy is the best decision you'll ever make, and I hope you know you are worth it. You are so worth it. Whether you're just venturing down this road for the first time or you have been at this thing called healthy living for a long time, we welcome you. We're here to support each other, learn from each other, celebrate each other's accomplishments, and hold each other accountable, whatever you need. So we are going to get moving here soon. There we go. I'm excited for this show today, really am, and so grateful that Bill said he would come on today and share this, because I'll tell you, when I first became a member of the Truck and Runners Facebook group and watching what so many people were doing out there, it just blows me away, and it made me want to do more. And that's what, you know, I just wanted to, you know, made me think about today with this was that, you know, I suggest to get around like-minded people. There's a quote, and I'll have to find it. I lost it on my computer. I'll have to share it with you. And here we go. There were a couple of them, and I always love this one. It says, go as far as you can see, and when you get there, you'll see farther. And it's so true. And sometimes you'll get to that point, you'll look back, and you think you would never, ever been able to do that before because your vision was smaller then. So that's what I love about getting around like-minded people, is that they can help you see bigger. You see other people doing things, and suddenly you'll find yourself thinking, well, yeah, you know, maybe I can do that too. I've shared that before with my with the Ironman training when I first started, and a lot of you know my story with that. You know, I was never an athlete. I grew up chubby all my life and was a wannabe almost. I would watch the runners in the rearview mirror as I passed them going down the road, and so it happened when I did get a handle on my health, and a gym was a whole different thing for me. You know, that was a whole different world, and I liked it. It helped keep me going. And there's a guy at our gym in the morning. He says, you know, because there's this morning group. He says, you know, you show up. You just show up. So that's why I'm grateful you're all here on the show today, because we show up together and are going down this path together. So one of my other favorite guys is Zig Ziglar. He said, a lot of people have gone further than they thought they could because someone else thought they could. So know that if you've got something in your mind that you think, man, I wish I could do that, know that we're all here to say, you know what, we think you can do it. So let's band together and get that done. I am so grateful, like I said, to welcome Bill Baker to the show today, and I'm not going to go in too much about his story because I would love for him to tell it to you, and I think you're just going to be completely blown away and inspired, because this is one of your fellow drivers out on the road that is here to share his story, because he is a true inspiration and very humble too, and I think you're going to find that with people too, especially with health, because we want it for each other. And on the running side of things, all I notice with Bill is sharing his runs and encouraging others to you know, walk their path as well, or walk or run their path and just be a support. So without any ado, I'm going to go right here. And this will be fun because Bill and I haven't got to chat in person. So this will be really nice to actually put a voice with a name and talk a little bit more about his story. So, Bill, welcome to the show. Just really appreciate your time today.
Well, I appreciate you asking me. I've been looking forward to this.
So where are you at? Are you driving? Are you out driving today?
No, I'm in my pickup today. I'm just right outside of Chattanooga. I've been down to the Atlanta area to look at a couple of trucks.
Okay.
So, and I'm on my way back. I live in Smyrna, Tennessee, and I'm kind of on my way back home.
Okay. Well, thanks for making this happen, really, truly, Bill. So, Bill, you sent me that your story when we chatted a little bit on Facebook. Do you mind sharing that? Can we just start there and have you share from, you know, when you started driving and coming through your story? Because I've read it twice, and I absolutely love it.
Okay, I'll try to go over it and then keep it short. But in 1989, I was in Fort Worth, Texas, in a construction zone. and got rear-ended by another truck. Matter of fact, it was a gasoline tanker full of gas.
Oh, my goodness.
And it basically it ruptured my fifth cervical vertebrae, basically broke my neck, tore all the muscles loose in my shoulders and my ribs and everything. And so I was pretty much of an invalid for several months. Couldn't do anything. After about a year, the doctors finally decided they wanted to operate. And they told me basically they had a 70% success rate, maybe a 10 to 20%. They couldn't help me, and a 10% chance that I could be paralyzed. And I looked at the doctor, and I said, oh, well, of course, at this time, I'm 40 years old. And I said, you mean I can wake up off the table paralyzed? And he said, yes. He said, now, I've never had it happen to any of my patients, but he said, I got to tell you the facts of this particular operation. It only took me about 5 seconds to realize that, mm-hmm. you know, as long as I'm mobile, I'll just take the pain.
Yeah.
So I went back home, and I went down to a small fitness center that is in town I lived in, and told the trainer there, I said, look, I've got a strength in my neck muscles and my back because I got to get back to driving. I got to get back to making a living.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put me on a program. I started lifting. And within a few months, I was, you know, like a workout warrior. And reshaped my body, got my neck muscle strong enough where I could set up for hours and hours, and I could turn my head and look out the mirror so I could drive.
Yeah.
And so that led to jogging, just, you know, around the block, you know, two or three times. And that led to my first 5K in 1992.
Okay.
And I think I told you this. I didn't place in the race or anything. I did finish it. And I thought I was doing pretty good. And, I don't know, maybe a quarter mile, half a mile from the finish, I looked up, and here comes this old man about my age now. I'm 64. He blew by me. And then this little girl that come up about, she must have been like 10 or 11 years old, come up about my armpit. She blew by me. And there wasn't anything I could do about it. And after the race, you know, that day I got thinking about that, and I'm very competitive. And I said, you know what, I can't stand that. So I started running more. And I didn't enter another race that year. I didn't enter another race till the next year, till I, you know, felt more competitive.
Okay.
And, which I wasn't. It was a couple more years before I was competitive, but I did eventually get pretty fast. So the 5Ks turned into 10Ks and 10 milers and half marathons. And in 2006. Can I tell a story about how I ran my first 50K?
Yeah, I like the story. Like, you got to tell this because I love it when you were sitting at the, I think that was the one where you were sitting at the end by the table. So, you have to share this.
in January of 2006, I found myself laid over. I was in San Bernardino, California. And it was Friday, and I was going to be laid over till Monday. And I had just came into the computer world, got me a laptop, and my son had showed me how to do a search engine. So I thought, well, I'll find me a 5K or a 10K to jump into this weekend. And I couldn't find anything except, you know, way down out in the L.A. metro area, and I didn't want to drive down in that mess. And then over in the right-hand corner, there was a advertisement for this trail marathon, trail 50K, 31 miles up in the high desert. And so I clicked on that, and read about it. It was up Calico Ghost Town, up north of Barstow, California. And it was about 100 miles from where I was. And then I went to register, and it said registration closed.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, phooey. But there was a phone number there for the race director. So I called the number, and he just happened to answer, and he was at the race site getting the race set up. And I gave him a little pity talk. I said, you know, I'm a truck driver from Tennessee. I'm laid over for the weekend. Oh, man, I need something to do. And he said, you're a truck driver? And you want to run a 50-kilometer trail race? And I said, yes, sir. He said, have you ever ran one before? And, Kim, I started to lie to him. But then he would ask which ones I ran, and of course I hadn't ran one. And I said, no, sir, I've never ran one, but I said, I can. And I guess he just was curious enough, and he said, I'll tell you what, if you'll come on up this afternoon and register, I'll let you register. He said, if you wait till in the morning, he said, I don't have time. So I went up, drove up to Barstow, dropped my trailer, drove up to the old mining camp, and the next morning I drove my bobtail tractor right up to the start line.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, everybody was looking at me, you know, and I had people ask me, are you fixing to run? I said, yeah, I'm going to run. So I ran it, and it was an amazing experience. It was hard. It took me 5 hours and 31 minutes. I'll never forget.
Was that your first trail run too?
Yeah, I'd done some short trails, you know, 4 or 5 mile trail runs, but this was
in the
high desert in the mountains up north of Barstow there. And the funny thing I'd like to tell you, when I got done, the race put on a really nice post-race meal for the runners, had it catered in. And I joined 4 or 5 other people at a table and was sitting there. And, of course, I was really, really proud of myself. And
mm-hmm.
I felt like I had just accomplished the most greatest athletic feat in the whole world. And so I'm sitting there trying to join in the conversation with these other gentlemen, and they started talking about the 50-milers and the 100-milers they ran. So I just shut up. I didn't have anything for that group, you know. And so it didn't take me but a few days. I entered my next 50K, and since then I haven't ran. There are people that's ran hundreds of ultra runs. I haven't run hundreds. I've probably run maybe close to 40, anywhere from 50 kilometers, and I have completed one 100 miler.
Oh, wow.
And, that was in 2008 when I was 58 years old. But anyway, can I talk about our relay coming up?
I mean, Bill, first of all, your story as far as, you know, where you've come with it, and, I mean, especially being over the road driving. It just blows my mind that you've got this team together of four other gentlemen. So, yeah, please share with them about what is around the corner for you guys.
Well, let me start by talking about Truck and Runners. It's a open group of runners, truckers, truckers' friends, families. You don't have to be a trucker. You don't have to be a runner. You just have to, you know, want to get out and move, exercise, work on your health.
Mm-hmm.
And for years and years, I thought I was the only one out there. And Jeff Clark put this group together a few years ago, and when I guess about the time Facebook got popular. And come to find out, there's a bunch of people like me, some really good runners too. I mean, some really good runners. Anyway, for the last 20 years or so, there's been a race called the Ball State 500 kilometer, and it starts up. Actually starts with a ferry ride across the river up in Missouri. Then we start running in Kentucky, across Tennessee, across a little part of Alabama, back in Tennessee, and then and Georgia, and then finish on Castle Rock in Alabama. But 300 miles of it is run in the rural roads of Tennessee.
Yeah.
So this year is the first year of the Ball State 500K relay. And Joshua Holmes is the race director, a good friend of mine. And what immediately when I found out about it, the first thing I did was get a hold of Stephen Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Smith is a stud. I mean, he'll go park at a truck stop, run 4 or 5 miles to a race start, run the race, run back to his truck stop, and then go deliver his load. And
yeah.
So anyway, I knew if I could get Stephen on board, I had a good, okay, we need 4 people for this, okay? I knew if I could get Stephen on board, I had an anchor, you know, for my team. And, I mean, he said yes immediately. And because he ran the solo last year, 314 miles. And then Jorge Gonzalez, who I'd met at a couple of races, ultra races, and he's from the Dallas area, he signed on. And then Mike McDivitt, I think I pronounced that right, from New Jersey. He was a little harder sell because he's so far away and he's got a young family. And, you know, this is taken away from, you know, work and income. And
yeah.
I understand that. But he finally did sign on, and he is fast. He is very fast. He hasn't ever done an ultra, but he has run a marathon. And anyway,
okay.
I'm really, really happy with my 3 other teammates. I couldn't have got a better group of guys together. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say I wanted to get people to picture exactly what you guys were doing. So, like, are you four going to be in a van, right? And one of you will take off running, and this goes nonstop, 24 hours, right, for 4.5 days.
Well, Kim, I hope it doesn't take us 4.5 days. I'm thinking 2.5 days.
Awesome. That would be great.
I'm thinking 2.5 days. We're it's only 78 miles apiece.
I love that talk.
That's 3 marathons basically, and in 2 days we should be able to knock that out. And like I say, I got 2 really, really super fast guys. And so I come in there somewhere, and then Jorge, he's as tough as nails. I mean, he loves the hills, and so we're gonna let him run most of the hills. But we do 5, the rules are we have to do at least 5 miles per leg. In other words, each time a runner hands off, he's got to do at least 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be doing 5 to 7 to 8 miles apiece. Jorge and I are going to concentrate on 5 and 6 miles, and then Stephen and Mike, they will do 6 to 8 miles because they're a little younger, a little faster. So we'll let them be the heavy hitters.
Yeah. So you take off running, and then the van will leapfrog up to your next stop and wait, and then you guys will hand off, and that will just keep going, right? For 2.5 days.
Exactly. Exactly.
Daylight, nighttime, all.
Yes, ma'am. All through
that
the day and all through the night.
Yeah. That is incredible, Bill.
Yeah, of course, we'll have safety vests on, we'll have blinky lights and headlights, you know, when we're on the road at dark. And so we'll take every precaution. And on our van, we're going to have a yellow emergency light, you know, and hopefully that'll let people know that there's something going on. close, and we'll take every precaution. But in 20-something years that they've been doing that solo, no one's ever been hurt. So, you know, we don't expect any problem. We just have to be a little cautious is all.
Yeah, good. Am I correct that Stephen running the Boston on Monday?
He's flying into Boston tomorrow, I guess, or Sunday, I don't know. And then as soon as the race is over, he's getting back to the airport and flying back. Yeah, I told you. He's an animal. He's an animal. There is no trucking runner like him. There's very few runners like him. That is as prolific as he is. You know, can do what he does week after week. I can't hold up to the mileage that he does, but last fall I was doing a race in Lebanon. It was a 24-hour, 12-hour, 6-hour race in Lebanon, Tennessee. Well, his route takes him through there. He's got pretty much of a steady route that he does out of Owensboro, Kentucky. So he calls me up and he says, "You think they'll let me register the morning of the race?" He said, "I ain't registered yet." And I said, "Yeah, I think they would." And of course, I knew the race director. And I said, "He said, well, I think I'm just going to stop and do that."
He
stopped. He parked at the Pilot truck stop, and I felt bad because he could have called me and I'd have come and got him. He parked at the Pilot truck stop, and the race start was like 3 or 4 miles away. Well, he puts his backpack on and gets his water, and he walks or jogs to the race start, then runs 24 hours.
He ran
a little over 100 miles, and then ran back to his truck, got in his truck, and delivered his load Monday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so
you do too. You guys find a way to get it done out on the road. That's what I think just blows me away is all you guys accomplish and others, you know, from the Facebook page, because I tout that Facebook page. I just love it. While you're driving and you're on the road and finding a way to get it done.
It is very difficult. You have to really want to. You know, to find a safe place to run or walk or bike. It is difficult, but it's getting easier now because of the Trucking Runners Facebook group. Back in the 90s when I first started running, I just, you know, I had to hunt for my own places. Now, if a driver knows they're going to have some downtime in a particular area, they just advertise them. On our Facebook page, hey, where can I run in this area? And usually within a few minutes, someone's telling them, you know, you can run here, you can run there, you know. So it's really nice.
And that really is, and I love that about that group. Absolutely love it. So, Bill, and I want to get back to that, too, with your run coming up, but what would you say to somebody, because you went from being, I mean, broken with, you know, the vertebrae and that, to rebuilding your body and then getting into running. And so I love the focus. And you've been, and actually, Bill, I think of you too, when I do the open for the show, I even say people have been at this healthy living for a long time because you have. You've spent your life being healthy and stuff too. Right, and it's sometimes that gets lost. You know, I'll tell you what. When I lost my 50 pounds, I loved. You know, you get a lot of. You know, people are so kind and generous with their compliments and their encouragement and so forth. And I want to say to you, who's been a lifelong person who's put health forward, I thank you for that too, because it's such a lesson to all of us that we say we want this to be our life. You know, and not just a small piece of it. So if you have somebody here that's, like, listening to, you know, is going down this road maybe for the first time, and just getting started, and I have a hard time seeing how this might fit into life on the road. What would you say to them? What are a couple pointers that you would give them?
Well, first of all, I want to tell a short story. First of all, no, Kim, I haven't spent all my life trying to be healthy. I of course played sports in high school and everything, and then I spent the next 20 years basically trying to kill myself. Heavy drinking, smoked two or three packs a day. Yeah. But anyway, about the time that I started in this fitness program in 90, two truck drivers that I knew, acquaintances, we wasn't, you know, friends per se, but I knew them, knew who they were. Both men in their mid-40s, and one of them dropped dead right in front of his family. And he was hugely overweight, smoked, you know, no exercise. And another driver I knew, I think he was 45, and he was grossly overweight, no exercise, smoked. He come down with cancer, and he lived about 6 months. And I got to thinking, you know, if I don't change something, I'm going to be right there with them guys in a few years. And so they were, like I said, they were only in their mid-40s. I'm in my early 40s, and I know I have got not just to get my health where I can drive. I've got to do a complete remake of my eating, you know, quit smoking, not drink so much. And I did that. So, you know, I will tell people that, you know, if they stay on the unhealthy path that they're on, bad things are going to happen. But we all have the opportunity to, at any age, we can change and do better. You know, whether you're 20 or 60, you know, we can improve ourselves. So.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I don't know. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it sure does. And I mean, and you not only got healthy. What has running done for you? What has that added to your life?
Running saved my life, Kim. When I started running, I had a bad knee. I had my hips hurt. You know, basically. I hurt all over, and the more I ran, the better I got. Now, I have a bad knee now. My ankles hurt, but I'm sick. I'll be 65 in August. You know, something's going to hurt all the time anyway. It just doesn't hurt as much. You know, I can still get around pretty good, except if you see me right after I've done a 40 or 50-mile race, I'm not moving too good.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah, I look like an old man.
Oh, no, I see pictures, so hey, I don't know about that. So what are some tips for on the road? How do you make it work for you with your job on the road? And, I mean, of course, by eating healthy to keep up with your running, but how do you do it on the road?
Kim, it's, you know, it's just different for each driver. You know, it depends on the route they run, but I would just try to find time. You know, whether it's morning, noon, or I've even ran at night before around parking lots or shopping centers. You just got to make it's just a priority. You have to make the time to go for a walk. Start off, go for a 15-minute walk, 20-minute walk, whatever you can do, and just build on that. But there's just hundreds of places drivers can park And many, many truck stops have a park within just a little ways of them, or they have a fairly deserted rural road real close to them. Or you can just do laps around the truck stop parking lot, which I've never really liked to do. I have a few times, but you know, it can be done, and you just have to find priorities and make the time.
Mm-hmm.
And how each driver goes.
Yeah, but I was going to say, it's easy. It's simple. It is, isn't it, Bill? It's easy. We say we complicate things so much, but it is just simple like that when you make that decision. Kind of like you did when you called those gentlemen that were so ill and then eventually, you know, pass away. You decided to do something else and make it happen.
Yeah, that's when I really got it into gear, when them two gentlemen got sick and passed away within just a few months of each other, and you know, and I knew them, and I knew their lifestyle, and I was going down that path, I think I had started lifting at that time, but I hadn't really made a commitment to you know, quitting smoking and watching what I ate and all that. But it's worked out pretty good for me. Right now, I'm the only medication I'm on. I do have to take some asthma medicine at times. I have exercise-induced asthma, and I didn't come down with that until I was 58 years old. And it gripes me because I have to take medication for it, but that's the only medication I'm on. My blood pressure is like a 19-year-old. My heart rate, my resting heart rate is like 48 beats a minute. And, you know, everything is just, you know, good except for the asthma. And it is what it is. So,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Had I not started a healthy lifestyle and started running, Kim, I don't know. I'd either be dead or in very poor health by now. There's no doubt about it. No doubt.
It's scary, huh, isn't it? When you think back,
yes.
And I'm sure I experience that too. I mean, life just, you know, it is going fast. I'm 51 still, and so it's just I want to encourage everybody that like that to embrace it now and you know, get started now and you know, try things different, you know, and that's why I loved you coming on and Jeff Clark. We had Jeff Clark on and John. Narens, when he did, you know, they do that racing series, had them on the show before. And just get around other people like that, join that group and come out with us.
we have a lot of really, really good runners and some real intelligent people, too. It's surprising. Men and women we have several athletes, truck drivers, athletes. We have this one lady, her name is Sherry Meter, and she drives for Swift, and she's been running ultras for many, many years, and I had heard about this woman and had never got to meet her. And last year at the Ball State solo 500-kilometer run, I met her. She was running it. She ran it like two or three times.
The whole thing by herself.
The whole thing by herself, yes.
That's incredible.
It takes her like 8 days. So I finally met Sherry and got acquainted with her. And then once I met her, I've seen her at several other races, and I finally got her in our group, our Facebook group. But she's amazing. We have another gentleman, Chuck Whalen. Chuck Whalen is running Western States 100-miler here in just a few weeks. That's one of the hardest 100-milers in the nation, considered like the granddaddy. He's very good. We have several. We have several get you on an interview. And some of these people have lived a healthy lifestyle their whole life. And then there's a lot of us like me. And Stephen, 3 years ago, Stephen was like 260 pounds, Stephen Smith.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So we all started somewhere, huh? I mean, that's a good lesson there. We all started somewhere. And you started with a run around the block and a 5K, and now you're part of a 500K group, you know?
Right. 314 miles.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
It's gonna be fun.
So and I want to encourage anybody too who's listening. If you have a question for Bill, please press one, okay? And Lisa will pop in and talk to you. But Bill, just if anybody's listening there who thinks that there's no way they could do something like this, what would you tell them?
I would say they absolutely could if they're in reasonably good health, and even if they're not, a lot of times you can do things to improve your health. I know Jeff Clark, for instance. Jeff has battled heart problems for years and years, and he's still getting it done. And he'll be the first to tell you, if he hadn't, went ahead and made the effort, that he might not have made it.
Yeah.
A person just has to start. They have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And anybody can, you know, unless they have some kind of, real bad health issue. And if you're a truck driver holding a CDL, you know, you got to be in good enough health to pass a CDL. That tells me you can walk around the truck stop a few times. It ain't going to kill you. Once you walk around it twice, you know, the next week, maybe you can walk it three times.
That's
and
right.
A couple of months, maybe you can run around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just what the driver wants to do.
Great. You know, Bill, I just think, what are you looking forward to the most about your relay coming up?
Having fun with the guys.
Yeah.
Now I have ran relays before, shorter relays with other members and mixed men, but I've never got to socialize with three other truck drivers, runners before like that. I've met two or three, but of course now Stephen and I, we've raced the same race together a couple, three, four times, and Jorge and I have been at the same race venue a couple, three times. Mike, I've never met, and he hasn't met any three of us.
Oh, wow.
And so we're all kind of coming together as strangers to get this done, basically.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess Stephen and I probably are as well acquainted as anybody, and Stephen is so quiet that, I mean, it's not that he's avoids people. He's just a real quiet, humble kind of guy. So we really don't know each other. But after 60 hours or so in that van, I'm sure we'll know each other pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it is true. It's all about having fun, too, isn't it? It sure is.
That's what, and you know what? At the same time, though, now we're gonna be working hard to make a good showing. We're not gonna be just also rand. I think we're gonna be able, you know, we're gonna be competing now. Whether we'll win or not, I don't know. Not gonna say that. They're gonna know. The other teams will know that Paul's truck and runners are on the course.
Yeah, and you said that from the get-go, too. You are really representing other truckers out there as part of this team, and I love that.
Yep.
Well, Bill, I'll tell you what. I'm going to Yeah, you will. I know you will, and I can't wait to track it. I want to, real quick before I take some questions from some people too, I want to share something with you, and I'll tell you what. So I am so grateful to be part of this Let's Truck team, and they are just the most, Lisa and Kevin and Aaron and Andy and Brittany, everybody that we work with, Lori, that, anyways, just a very, very generous company and group, and Lisa's telling me not to cry, and I will. We shared your story with them, and all you're going through, I'm so happy to say that, and we have, I know I forget somebody here, but Lisa wants from them and the Let's Truck team to make a donation to your team. And she's generously donating $500 to you guys.
Are you serious?
I know. Isn't that fabulous?
Oh, man.
Crying. I'm like, you know what, Bill? They did that on their own, and that's what completely blows me away about them. And I know what this means, because I think I had told you I had done a relay before, and I know what goes into this between the vans and the lost work, you know, time off work, the food you have to do. I know what goes into this thing, and when I shared what you guys were doing, she's like, can we help? Can we help? I'm like, well, yeah, you know,
And you know what? The guys are really going to like that, because all I have to feed them is peanut butter and crackers.
Now I can
afford a couple of cans of sardines.
Oh, my gosh. You said sardines. Oh, my gosh. Kevin would hear that. He's all about sardines.
I'm joking. It will be greatly appreciated and well spent, too.
What you guys are doing, you're not doing it just yourselves. You're saying, you know, I'm here representing, and you're sharing and inspiring so many. And I thank you so much for this time. I can't wait to meet you in person someday, maybe at a race somewhere.
I told you, Kim, you can come down and drive the van for us.
I know. I would have. Well, first you were saying just all truckers. And that's what I love about the trucking industry, the trucking runners page too. You guys are so welcoming. Yeah, I know. I would. I'd have to bring a few kids with me. We'd put them all to work.
Oh, goodness. Well, that might get a little difficult. And,
I'll tell you what. I will be rooting for you and. And Stephen, and did you pronounce it Jorge? It's J-O-R-G-E. How do you pronounce his name? Because I want to say it right.
Oh, it's Jorge. He's Mexican.
Okay.
It's spelled J-O-R-G-E, I think.
I hope you four we'll feel the support from everybody out here. So, and then we'll have to get you back on after you guys get done, and let's hear all about it.
Hey, we ought to call in, while the next Friday, while the race is going on.
Oh, my gosh. That's the 24th. That would be awesome. Awesome, Bill. Okay, I'm going to hold you that. So I'll send you a text. Okay, and then whoever can call in and let us know how it's going. Oh, my gosh, that would be fabulous.
Okay,
dear.
Okay.
Yeah, this time next week. So I love that.
Okay.
Okay, well, if it's okay, Bill, I'm going to put you on hold and see if we have any questions, and I might have to pop you back on here and see. What a pleasure talking to you. I could keep going on, so I thank you so, so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. If I don't talk to you, you have a great weekend, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks,
you
Bill. Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, you guys, I hope that inspires you as much as it does me. Just humble kindness and just the hard work and ability that Bill and now these other three gentlemen. Let's take some questions here, guys. So let's go head off to Indiana. James, welcome to the show. How are you?
How you doing, Kim? Great show so far. It's really inspirational story, Bill.
Isn't that amazing? Did you know that there was even, you know, like that Facebook page, and that there's, you know, some other truckers out there that are out there doing this?
I heard of the Truckers Runners group. I have heard of it. I haven't really looked into it yet. But I do running in my exercise program. Badly.
Oh,
but
do
I
you
do
really?
Run. Yeah.
Oh no, that's wonderful. Yeah, I really encourage you to go check out that site, because like Bill said, what's really neat, I love the inspiration of people, you know, just of what they're doing, but when you guys out on the road, if you'll see that. Some people will say, I'll be, you know, at this truck stop or this place, and do you know a trail or do you know some place to run? And every time somebody has suggestions for them, yeah, I've been there, go here, do this, and it's priceless.
So is this a suggestion on where to run and all that, good places to go?
Yep. So like I said, if you're, you know, if you know you're going to be stopping somewhere, and it might be even someplace new, you can post on that, you know, Facebook group, say, I'm stopping here. Has anybody ever been here? Is there a good place to run? You know, and always. They always have a great answer.
Yeah, I always find the best places to run are rest areas, because they're sort of like parks anyway. You know, you got the grass there, you got some, you know, you have concrete walkways and large parking lots, you know. And so I find rest stops best. But I'll run behind trucks. I'll run around the truck stop behind the trucks, you know, if need be. You know. So that's what I do. I just find a spot big enough for me in the truck stop where I'm not going to get ran over and run around the truck stop. You know.
Yeah, so, there you go. Good. Good.
But why I called you, Kim, is I'm just starting out this, you know, this whole thing. I've only been on it for a couple months, and I've been making some good strides forward and everything. And I just want to tell you what I'm doing and let your comments fly from there. And I've been having an issue, and I'll tell that to you at the end. I'll start with my diet. My diet consists of, well, a couple slabs of salmon with the skin on it, kale. I'll bake that in that lunchbox cooler. I'll eat that like twice a day. I eat a lot of yogurt. I'll eat a lot of that.
What kind of yogurt?
It's a yogurt called Kobe, Corn Bean or something like that. It's like Corbini. It's something you get from Walmart. I get that.
Chobani.
Chobani.
Okay.
Yeah, I eat a lot of that. I'll have about 4 or 5 cups of that a day. What else? I'll have baked chicken, whatever I can get. A baked chicken, I'll have that for a day. I'll just take the white meat off of it and throw off the rest of it. Apples a snack on, almonds a snack on, and I'll eat mangoes from time to time. And also the Walmart brand hummus. So that's my diet.
Okay.
I typically go through, on the daily basis. That's the consistency of my food. My exercise program is I exercise a half an hour a day, but I break it up into 10 minutes at a time. You know, 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes sometime during the day, and 10 minutes at night. And I'll do, I have a 25-pound weight that I do curls and, and some, back stuff. And then one of the exercises I do is I have a double bunk, so I'm laying on the lower bunk and I pull up to the top bunk, and I try to do that
nice.
25 times. You know, it's a creative way of doing
it.
I'll do exercises like that in the truck, like push-ups and everything else, anything I could do within the truck. One day I'll do that 3 times a day, and then I'll run. I'm up to 7 minutes now as far as running, and I'll do that 3 times a day, like the following day. And I've been making strides. I've lost 12 pounds of a 40-pound goal I have. So, and I've done that within the past, just a couple months. I lose between 6 to 8 pounds a month. And so that's the positive of it. But I'm in my mid-40s right now. And during the middle of the day, right, sometimes I am battling to stay awake behind the wheel. I really am doing everything I can to stay awake behind the wheel. And I do it gets to a point where I become desperate, and then I'm reaching for a 5-hour energy, which I know is bad for your health. And all that is horrible for your health. But it's people. I have to stay awake. I have to continue to run. So, I mean, is there a healthy alternative to get my energy level up? Because Kevin talks about fat on his show. That's the key to energy, is fats, according to what Kevin is saying. So, that's what I'm doing, and that's my issue. So you tell me what I need to do.
Okay, and you know what? I love that, and it's true. Like, I'm looking at what you're eating is all great, and let me ask you this. I mean, are you spreading this out throughout the day? Is this like 6 small meals? Is it 3 big ones? How do you feel like?
Like the fish. Okay, this is what in the morning I'm not that hungry, right? I'll eat like a banana or two, and only maybe 1 or 2 cups of that Kobani yogurt, and that's about it. In the morning, I'm really not that hungry. And then I'll have the fish. I'll have the baked fish, like, in the middle of when I stop for the day for the half-hour break. I'll eat the fish and kale. It's fish and kale, I'll eat that. And at the end of the night, I'll have another set of fish and kale at the end of the night. But, I take my medication. I am on a heart medication that I take at night, and I'll actually use another – a can of yogurt to get that down. So,
Let me ask you this too, and Kevin's on board here too on the call. So, I mean, we'll bring him on here in 1 second. I just want to ask a couple questions. First of all, with that yogurt, I know you're using Chobani, but is it the fruit kind too? Is it fruit or is it plain? Is your yogurt, is that Greek Chobani yogurt? Is it plain Chobani, and you might add some fruit to it, or is it the fruit-flavored Chobani?
It does have, like, I'll eat, like, vanilla is my favorite one. Coconut is another favorite of mine. I'll eat the strawberries and the grapes and all that kind of stuff. And, that's what I eat out of that.
Okay. And the only reason why I asked is just be aware of those. Those actually, you know, especially if you're eating 4 or 5 of them, they've got some pretty good sugar in it. So just kind of keep an eye on that.
Those sugar. Is there another brand I can try or something?
You know what? No, all the Greek yogurts, which are fabulous because they do have the added protein in it, and protein does not seem to be a problem with what you're having. You know, you're doing weightlifting and stuff like that too, so that's good. My only concern was that jumped out at me was, the Greek yogurt, the only one that doesn't have the added sugar is your plain non-fat. I add some Truvia and you can do some blueberries, you know, it's like some berries in it, that forth. But if you're eating 5 of those a day, you're getting a pretty good hit of sugar.
Right.
That's the only thing I would say. Try watching that. The other thing I wanted to ask was how much water you're drinking. Do you feel like you're
drinking
water?
I drink strictly water. I have like a thermos that I'm sipping out of during the whole part of the day. I'm just, I used to drink like green tea, Japanese green tea and water and all that, but I really don't like tea that much, so I just kind of get going with water. So.
Okay. Yeah, those are the things that stood out for me. I want to bring Kevin on to see if he has anything. The other thing that you said was, you know, you're not really a breakfast person, you know, so you're kind of starting off at a deficit for your day. Maybe try to get some protein in there in the morning with a good fat, like, you know, with some coconut oil in it or, you know, you said you had a banana, but, maybe consider finding some way to get a little bit of fat in that breakfast along with, you know, that banana, maybe a little bit of protein, you know, chop that protein up in one of those plain Greek yogurts. You know, start with that. I mean, does that sound like something you can do? Does that sound like something that you can maybe tweak a little bit?
Okay, so what are you suggesting in the morning as far as what to eat? Try to get plain yogurt with real fruits in it, with lower sugar levels.
Right. You know, that to me is a really good breakfast. I know that's the non-fat. I don't know. I know that there's some one of our drivers has found the full-fat Greek yogurt that's plain. Keep an eye out for that, too, just to get a, you know, a little bit of the good fat in you to get started. The other thing is just, you know, if you're pacing it throughout the day, you know what, I'll have to look. I'll look for one. And I'll ask.
It's going to be something I could get from Walmart. It's going to be something I could get from, like, Walmart or Sam's Club, because that's the only place I could park. So.
I'll try to find, I'll reach out to Tim and see where he found that at. And then in general, like, how is your rest? Is your rest pretty decent at night? Do you feel like you're getting some good sleep?
I try to get about, 6 to 8 hours at night, because I get up a lot. I go to the bathroom a lot, like 2 or 3 times a day, or in the middle of the night, so that interrupts it, you know. I mean, when I'm awake, I could do anything, you know. I could do this job, I got a lot of energy, but, like, I hit this wall in the middle of the day, it's like, God, I cannot stay awake, you know. So.
Yeah, and you know, and I mean, to be honest, and I want to see what Kevin feels like about this, too. I mean, when I am even at my best, like with working out and eating and stuff, I still hit a time in the afternoon. And so I personally haven't done it for a while now. You know, I'm a believer in that, the 10 to like 20 minute nap. I was thinking that worked well for me, you know, to just do that real quick for a rest. But the other thing to me is just the water. You know, if, when I'm tired, I know I'm dehydrated and I try to focus on that. But so those are the two things, you know. I realize you said you're not a breakfast person, but maybe really try to put some focus on there. How are you, like, with hard-boiled eggs, even? Something that you like?
I haven't ate eggs in a long time. You say try to get some hard-boiled eggs?
I was just asking if that's something that is in your, you know, like, if you're looking at planning out meals and so forth, is that something that would fit, you know, in what you enjoy?
It's fine. I like hard-boiled eggs. You say add some more of that into my diet?
I'm just thinking about that breakfast again, you know? I was just thinking about something to get your day started out good. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Hard-boiled eggs. Okay.
Let's bring Kevin on board here, too, and let's get some ideas that he, that might stuck out for him that he'd like to chat about. Hey, Kevin.
Hey there.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on. Hey, Bill, a couple things here. First off, Kim is right on target with this. So let's start with the good stuff. The good stuff is I listen to your diet, and you are eating virtually all whole foods all day long, which is outstanding. You know, I didn't hear any processed foods in there. Everything you eat is one ingredient. Single ingredient, whole food is just, that is really good for your overall health. Now, let me give you the good news that I can tell you exactly why you're getting tired in the middle of the day. The bad news is there's not an easy fix. There's a fix that will solve it completely. It's just not easy. So what's happening is your whole food diet is really high in sugars. Even though they're natural sugars, they still affect your body the same way. And what they do is they spike blood sugar, and then blood sugar drops. And then you eat again, and blood sugar spikes, and blood sugar drops, and blood sugar spikes and drops all day long, and it really kind of wears your body out. So, but your only choice, because your body is only able to burn sugars as fuel, your only choice is to do it again. You know, it's kind of like a drug. We have to keep going back for more. I mean, think of a meth addict. They can go for 48 hours with no sleep, but they got to snort meth every 20 minutes to do it. That's really what's happening with sugar. You can keep going, but you got to keep getting that sugar high to do it. Now, the reason I say there's no easy fix is when I talk about using fats for fuel, fat is a much better fuel source for your body. And one of the analogies I use is if we think about carbohydrates, sugars or grains, imagine trying to burn wheat. You could do it if it's dry, but it goes up like that, and you got to keep throwing more wheat on the fire, right? That's how carbohydrates burn. But think about burning fats. You know, whale blubber and lamps and fat burns slow and hot for a long time. So that's really what's happening in our body. The thing is, and the reason I say it's not easy, is if your body, and virtually everybody on the planet just about these days is in this position, that their body is conditioned to burn sugars. Because our diet is about 60% sugar. And when I was listening to yours, even though they're natural and they're better, it's still about 60% sugar. So if you add fat, I mean, you can eat all the best fats on the planet, and you're going to call me back and go, Kevin, this isn't working. And you'll be right. It won't work. Because as long as the sugar is available, your body will burn it. And it will never learn how to burn fat because sugar is so much easier to burn. So the way that you've got to do this, and the reason I say it's not easy, is you've got to cut your sugars down to such a low level that your body is then forced to learn how to burn the fat as energy. And it's not easy for a lot of reasons. One, we crave sugars, and when you drop them low enough, you are going to feel horrible. You're not going to have any energy at all. You're going to get headaches. I mean, I know all the things you have to go through, and it takes a couple weeks. So it's not an easy process. And then the second reason it's not easy is because when you look around, everything that's readily available to eat is high in sugar. It's harder to find the good quality fats. Although once you learn how, that part will get much easier over time. And once you can get through that initial phase, then your body says, look, here's fat. And you will have more energy than you know what to do with, and you don't have to keep replenishing it. Like you can go, I mean, I can go 10 or 12 hours sometimes without eating, and I never feel that drop in energy because your body can always go to its fat stores for energy. You've got fat available all the time, but sugar doesn't last. Sugar burns quick, and then you got to keep adding more. So, I mean, all the things that Kim said are absolutely right on target. They will help you right now. Lots of water, good rest. You know, you're already eating good whole foods. Cut down on the sugars because that will help, although that is your primary source of energy right now. And ultimately, I wish I had an easier way, but in order to get over that forever, you've got to make that huge commitment to say, you know, I'm going to go through the 2 weeks of hell, I'm going to learn this, I'm going to figure out. I mean, I'll tell you how hard it can be. In order to get this, you have to get to the point where you're not consuming any more than about 15 grams of sugar at any one time. And if you start looking at things, I mean, a bottle of sweet tea has 46 grams of sugar in it. So one drink, and you've wiped out.
What are the examples of these good fats you're talking about? Kim mentioned, of course, the yogurt has too much sugar in it. I think apples have a lot of natural sugar in them. Is that true?
Apples are crazily high in sugar. So are bananas. Now, that's not to say that they're not healthy for you. They are, absolutely. I don't want you to stop eating that kind of stuff.
What's an alternative vegetable? Or what's an alternative fruit I could eat besides? I mean, the reason why I like to eat apples is because apples will stay forever. You don't have to refrigerate them or anything. That's one of the reasons why I keep apples.
Yeah, and I want you to keep apples around and I want you to eat them. But you just have to realize that when I eat an apple, I eat a half an apple. With other food.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, you know what I eat it with? I love eating a half an apple with almond butter.
I was just going to say that with some good nut butter.
Yeah, any of the nut butters, cashew, even peanut butter, but peanut butter is actually the worst of the nuts. So, you know, you could do that. But if you go with, like, cashew butters, almond butters, make sure they don't have added sugars. I mean, because naturally they're super low in sugar, but really high quality fats. And they're satisfying. They've got some fiber. They satisfy you. So you combine a half an apple with, you know, even as much as like a quarter cup of almond butter, which is a lot of almond butter.
Right.
That is a great meal. That your salmon is an excellent source of fat. Believe it or not, depending on how you cook it, put a tablespoon of coconut oil on the salmon. Put fat on fat, and then have a half an avocado with it.
Well, actually, I sip on olive oil every once in a while. I'll drink like a shot glass of olive oil every
olive oil's great.
Like, fight it
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's good for your cholesterol.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, the best fats, I mean, and you can do saturated fats, you know, good, clean protein. Like you said, the chicken breast, honestly, once you get your body to the fat-burning stage, the thighs with the skin on are way better for you.
Okay. So your suggestion right now is get a better yogurt to eat, plain yogurt with the lower sugars. Don't eat as many apples. Eat more nuts or something like that.
Yep.
That'd be
yep.
better.
Avocados, mm-hmm. avocados,
mm-hmm.
nuts, hard-boiled
avocados.
Fantastic.
Hard-boiled eggs. Okay,
yeah.
Use that for the breakfast. Okay.
Or a snack throughout the day.
Well, I mean, I do, but of course that's apples I'm snacking on, and almonds is what I'm snacking on. So
the almonds are good. The apples, I have a feeling you're overdoing the sugar on the apples. So
okay.
If you were to eat, instead of almonds and apples, if you were to eat almonds and blueberries,
right.
almonds and raspberries,
yep.
that you're still
berries.
Getting the fruit,
mm-hmm.
which is excellent for you, but berries are much lower in sugar. The one you got to watch a little bit is a strawberry because they've been hybridized to be really, really sweet. But if you stick with blueberries and raspberries with the almonds, that is a great snack. Keep your apples.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch the quantity on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, James, I just looked up that yogurt. It's like 17 grams of sugar. And it's hard because that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we think we're doing good with the, you know, the Greek yogurt and the protein. And I do the exact same thing. You mentioned vanilla. That used to be my favorite until somebody that I was working with at the time pointed out the sugar. So,
Kim, your advice of the plain, and don't worry about the fat content in the yogurt. If it's zero fat, all right. I mean, I'd actually rather she eat the full fat.
It's hard to find. Yeah.
It is. I know. I keep trying to find it because I would like to find. Faye, F-A-G-E, makes a whole fat and a 2%. Plain, and it's one of the bigger brands, so it's a little easier to find, and I have found it in Walmart. So it's
right.
F-A-G-E. Get the plain, just like Kim said. F-A-G-E, they pronounce it Faye.
Okay.
Just like Kim said, get the plain, because there's no added sugars in there. If you need to sweeten it up, sweeten it with a little bit of stevia, but throw blueberries or raspberries in there, and that is a great snack.
Okay, good. All right, I'll do that. All right, thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
Thanks so much, James.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, hey, Kevin, and I wanted to see if you wanted to share anything with us, too, as we're wrapping up, and we haven't got to chat in a few weeks.
No, it's been a while. We've been running around like crazy. You know, I know you were looking for me last week. There was some questions about the whole fermenting vegetables. Is there something I have enough time to cover on that real quick?
Yeah, just the it was the question they were asking about the recipe and the starting, what they need to do to just that simple thing is getting started. And if they don't have the special tap on it, what they would do there.
Yeah. You know, the good news is that I've gotten a ton of feedback from people who said, you know, they were so excited about starting, they didn't want to wait till they got the tops, and they were just doing mason jars with screw-on lids, and they said it's working just fine. You know, they're doing it on the road. They crack the seal once a day just to let the little bit of pressure out, and they said now that they've done it that way, they're not even sure that they'll bother ordering the lids because it's just been working fine for them. So It actually gets simpler and simpler the more we do this. So if everybody wants to grab something to write with, I'll give you the recipe. And this is, you know, the beauty here is if you use quart mason jars, which are really good size, it makes remembering the recipe so easy because it is a quart of water. I like to use purified water. If you can't find purified, get distilled. And it's a quart of water to 2 tablespoons of sea salt. That's it. That's the whole recipe. That is the brine. That's what's going to make the fermentation happen. And that's really any vegetable you want to chop up and throw in there and see what happens. So, you know,
and,
2 tablespoons of sea salt, a quart of clean water, stick it on the counter. The temperature range that it likes to stay in ideally is 65 to 70. If you get outside of that range, it's not going to hurt anything. It's just going to change what's going on. It might change the flavors. It might change the speed. The colder you get, the slower the fermentation is going to happen, and the warmer you get, the faster it's going to happen. So if you, for whatever reason, are keeping your truck at, you know, 75 degrees all day long, you might want to crack that lid twice a day, because you're going to get some pretty active fermentation going on at those temperatures, and it's going to build up pressure. 4 days seems to be a great number for almost any vegetable I've tried. If you're using something like carrots, which are really crunchy and you don't chop them up small enough, 4 days isn't going to be enough. I mean, you can eat them at 4 days. They're just going to feel much more like raw rather than fermented. Pickles, seems like you can actually start eating those in 3 days. Anything that you shred or chop up real small, 3 or 4 days, you've got a lot of fermentation going on. Anything you leave whole, 4 days, it's fermented and you can eat it, but you can certainly let it go longer.
Okay. And then if it gets to the point that you like it, as long as they have the refrigerator with them, if you pop it in the refrigerator, it's going to keep it at that level. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, it pretty much stays right there. I mean, it slows the fermentation down so much that, you know, I've got stuff that's been in my refrigerator now for 2 months, and it feels just like it did when I put it in there.
Good. Oh, okay.
And if they don't have room in the refrigerator and you want to leave it out, you leave it out, and it'll just keep fermenting, and it'll change a little every day, and you might even find that you like it better.
That's true. I think that's just so cool because I think somebody else had talked about that before, is that, you know, vegetables can just get so boring. And it's just so great to let's have some fun with vegetables and remind people what the extra benefit is to eating fermented vegetables.
There's actually two. I mean, we know that vegetables are probably the single most important food group in our diet. I mean, we could argue back and forth about fats and all these other things and, you know, should you be totally plant-based, which I don't think you should, but virtually everybody agrees that the vegetable group is still the most important. It should be the biggest part of our diet. And you're right, they can get boring. And some vegetables are hard to digest. So your body does work a little bit to break down some of the harder vegetables. When we ferment them, we actually get two additional benefits. One is that the acid that we're creating through the fermentation process, the lactic acid, which gives it the little vinegary bite, that also helps to start breaking down and releasing the nutrients out of the vegetable. So it's actually a healthier vegetable than it is in the raw state because our body, we haven't destroyed any of the nutrients the way cooking can do. We've actually released more of the nutrients so they're available to our body. So that's the first benefit.
Okay.
The second one, which is really critical, is we've talked so much about the health of our gut and having good bacteria instead of bad bacteria taking over our gut, causing all these digestive issues we hear about. See all the commercials for probiotics. People are paying $30 a bottle for them. You're making your own probiotics for 2 tablespoons of salt. It's pennies. And you make about 20 times more probiotics in that quart jar than you get in a whole $30 bottle of pills.
Wow.
So, yeah, two just huge benefits there. Actually, we might as well just call it three. You're eating vegetables. That's the first thing. The vegetables have more nutrients available because of the lactic acid, and then we're getting all those good probiotics.
That's great. And it's so true. It's a way to handle it. And it's true. We have been hearing so much about it on the TV, and you wonder what that is. And I love the fact that there's a way we can do that naturally and inexpensively, and it tastes good. So.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing I'd like to tell people, and I've even found some in Walmart, it's a little harder if you can hit some of the big chain grocery stores, I'm seeing lots more of them. I'm seeing fermented products now showing up in regular grocery stores. The two most common that you're going to find are natural sauerkrauts, and you've got to look. If it says vinegar anywhere on the label, that's not a fermented natural product. If it says pasteurized anywhere on the label, skip it. But if you look in the refrigerated sections, usually in the produce section, you'll start to see naturally fermented sauerkrauts and naturally fermented kimchi. So even if you can't get to the point where you're doing your own yet, grab some of those.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for popping back in to share that, because I feel bad because I still haven't backed up and done this yet once I'm done painting. I just have to.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot going on.
Those asparagus you shared, I kept telling the asparagus, you did what, asparagus, cauliflower, and I think Brussels sprouts that you had shared.
Yeah.
And I love the asparagus, and I want to try green beans. So those are the couple that I want to do.
The asparagus, hands down, is always the favorite. Every time I give, let people sample everything, asparagus seems to be number one. I think I also made some coleslaw for you.
Yes, you did. That's right. You did. And that was delicious.
Yeah, so that was a shredded cabbage and carrot.
Uh-huh.
And then
carrots.
I just took it right out of the jar, threw it a little mayonnaise, and you get a real coleslaw-like effect because you've already got the vinegary thing going on.
Right. And I love that vinegary more so than the too much mayonnaise. I like the vinegary. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So looking forward to eventually trying this. I keep saying I'm going to do it this weekend. We'll see.
Yeah, well, I know all the people coming to the CMC. I'm hoping I've got to get busy and start fermenting again because I've eaten everything I have just about.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and please do and see what Matt's doing. Matt and Andrew are going to get some stuff going so that everybody can give it a try, too. So I love it.
Excellent.
I love the direction we're going here. So, okay, Kevin, well, we will see you in a few weeks then.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Bye now.
Take care.
Okay, you guys. Well, thank you again. I want to thank you for joining us today. And thank you, Bill Baker and Dust. Think about all these guys. Like, Stephen Smith's going to be doing the Boston Marathon on Monday. These are your fellow drivers that are out here hitting the pavement and going to be a team out there representing you. So I look forward to having Bill pop on the show next Friday in the middle of the relay, which will be very cool. So, and thank you, James, for coming on and asking your question, because that's how we all learn. And, it'll be interesting. Please pop back in and let us know what you've tried and how it's worked for you, because that's what it's about, you guys. Find what works for you. They're all different ways to eat out there and stuff you're going to hear, and it can get to a confusing point, but start somewhere. At the very most, cut out your sugar, try to get more water in, get breakfast, get some rest, keep your blood sugar up by eating regularly throughout the day, try not to skip that breakfast and then, 4 or 5 hours later eat and so forth, and at the end of the day, so work on that. It takes preparation. I know it takes work, but it is so worth it. And we do. We always say you guys are worth it, and you are, so I appreciate you here. Check us out on Twitter, Let's Truck Health, and on Facebook page, go like the page Destination Health, okay? And then please check out the Truck and Runners Facebook page. There's some great ones in Heart Smart Highway. There's Road Tested Living. There's a community of drivers and people in the trucking industry that are saying health is important. It's just amazing. So you're part of a great group. We appreciate you. So stick with us. Stick around like-minded people. Share what you're learning, too. Keep asking questions, okay? So I just appreciate your time with us. You really matter to us, and your health matters to us. That's why we want to come here and chat together. So until next week, keep learning. Keep connected with those like-minded people. Keep moving. Be committed to you. Be a leader out there on the roads and at home in this health journey. So as we say, be healthy, be fit. Do the hard work and master this journey to health. Have a great, safe weekend, and until next week, bye for now.